FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks, your host for the next hour. Tonight is the 23rd of May, 2005, and it's Monday, the beginning of another work week. So glad you're joining us here tonight, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking with Stephen Jacobson tonight. He's going to be our guest, as there's no end to the lies of the controlled media and the manipulation of thought processes in America. A lot of things are going on today, and as I see it, there's no better way for people to get their agenda through than by controlling the thoughts of the masses. And that's going to be the subject that we're going to be talking about tonight. Before we get to Stephen, though, I just want to make an announcement here that I'm notified by the network that they now have a chat room available for those of you who want to go there and interact. Maybe we'll take some questions through the chat room tonight. I guess I everything that I was doing before the broadcast, I never even thought to go there myself. So maybe we'll do that as time progresses and get some interaction from the listeners tonight through the chat room. And also the phone line will be open for Stephen. If you want to ask some questions, the call in number. It's 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. This is a very important topic, I believe, because so much is going on, and all of it, nothing, it seems like, you know, Dennis, you know, my partner in the website, my partner webmaster, Dennis Hodges, him and I were talking on the phone last week, and we were discussing some things that are going on in society. And we came to the conclusion that nothing that we see today is as it seems. It seems like this web has been orchestrated throughout our entire life, our entire existence. And symbolism from the Masonic symbolism that goes on, it seems like everything has been planned for us, and this whole life seems to be an illusion. And a manipulation for us all. So, Stephen Jacobson has done a couple of documentaries, and based upon the idea of 1984 and George Orwell, and I'll just share information from his website right now. It's mindcontrolinamerica.com. And it says, in the book 1984, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their freedom, losing their mind without being aware of it, while it is happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation, mind control. Stephen has produced two documentaries, audio documentaries called Mind Control in America and Wake Up America, which deals with the fraudulent monetary system. Stephen is our guest tonight. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I am, Darren.
Welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you.
You know, you've been at this for a number of years, I know. You produced Mind Control in America. Which one came first?
Mind Control in America came first.
And what point did you produce that?
That was in 1991.
What was your reason for doing so?
To educate people. I worked in media. I was a film editor, worked in the film industry for about 13 years, in different capacities. But in working as an editor, it was easy to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or the meaning of what someone says through editing.
Mm-hmm.
That reality was very moldable, very plastic. And I knew that the media was very manipulative, but I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated by mass media, including people who work in it, until I was given the results of private research that was investigating mental programming and deprogramming. When I got that material, studied it, I saw the implications as far as my work was concerned, and eventually it led to my leaving the career that I was pursuing and to investigate the issue of mind control, and also to investigate other subjects as well. I had a lot of questions that did not get answered while I was growing up. They didn't get answered in public education. There were questions that did not get answered when I was in college. And I took that opportunity to do the investigation. And that began 25 years ago, in earnest, to educate myself about what was going on, and then to use my education and the skills developed over the years to produce summary information that would be helpful to other people, people who didn't have the time or the inclination to do the research themselves. And so that's how it began, and that led to the first audio, Mind Control in America, which is not dated. It is as relevant today as when it was produced. In fact, it is more, perhaps it is even more relevant today because things have not changed.
Right.
The problem is not a new problem. What is new is that the technology that we have today allows for the implementation of techniques, ancient techniques, on a massive scale to influence the thinking and behavior of large numbers of people.
You frequently reference George Orwell in his book 1984. Do you think even George Orwell could have imagined the degree to which people can be manipulated by technology today?
Well, I think he was in a pretty good position to know what was in the offering for us. George Orwell worked for the BBC. He worked in media, and he also, from different sources I've seen, speculated that he was a member of British intelligence. Given those two sources in his background, he was privy to information that I believe served as a basis for his writing 1984. And just as a side note, what he warned has happened. The world of 1984 arrived unnoticed in America, because people were conditioned not to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a virtual reality, a controlled environment where deception has become an integral part of the framework of society. We were born into this situation where we consider it normal, but much of what we know, or what we think we know and believe, it's second-hand information, things that we have been indoctrinated into believing. And many people, most people, I would say, don't think about why they believe some of the things that they do. It's a knee-jerk kind of reaction. And the first order of business for a propagandist or an advertiser is to build into the target population conditioned responses so that people will respond to particular ideas and particular products automatically without thinking about it.
You know, as you're talking and saying that, I think of what's been done to the Confederate flag today. You know, that would be a good example of what you're referencing there, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I mean, everyone's been conditioned to believe that the Confederate flag is a racist symbol, you know. And all these groups that have paraded around with the Confederate flag have also paraded around with the, you know, the regular standard American flag, you know, the federal flag that we've become accustomed to accepting today, you know. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, gee, you can pick practically any topic and draw certain inferences and conclusions with regard to the mind control issue. The mind control issue is an umbrella issue. Everything else plugs into it. Most people don't think about the things that affect them subconsciously because they don't generally know what to look for until these things are pointed out to them. And then, well, once they are aware of some of these principles and the techniques, then they can recognize them when it comes before them. And I think some of the information that I'll give this evening to your listeners is meant to do exactly that, to give people information that they can use to protect themselves and their children from subconscious manipulation. This is why the audio series was begun, and the production of the Mind Control in America audio, and the follow-up, the Wake Up America audio, as educational tools, even for people who have done their homework, have done the research, understand some of the basic issues and basic problems that we're faced with as a nation and just as human beings. But very often people have difficulty sharing information, especially if you're talking to family, friends, people who know you, and especially when it's information that may not be the most pleasant. People don't like to hear bad news, and it's difficult sharing information sometimes, and these are very tightly scripted productions that are meant to be listened to more than once. They have music and sound effects to make them interesting to listen to.
Very well done, I might add.
Oh, thank you. It was done. I was the vehicle for the work. It was simply it was done through me. I think anyone who is working at their best is simply serving as a medium or vehicle through which that work is being done. I'm certainly inspired to do them, and in the continuing work, it certainly I can't consider it my own. I'm simply a vehicle through which the work is getting done, as a service to help to help right some wrongs. We're all in this thing together, and the first step in solving a problem is understanding the true nature of the problem and having the requisite information that you need to deal with it. The mind control issue is a very basic fundamental issue. There are two primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled. One, very fundamental, very basic, is the control of information, the quality and quantity of information that people have access to. If we don't have all the facts, or if we have half the truths mixed in with facts, then that's going to reflect in our judgment about everything. And we suffer today from an information overload, a constant flow of information. And unless one is able to pick through that, that mass of information and put it into some kind of coherent form, even having all that information, having access to that all that information is not always going to be terribly helpful. You have to have the right information to be able to break through this programming that we all suffer from.
That's something that's kind of interesting there, Stephen. Historically, before the internet came along, we were all starving for information. It's amazing that we've come full circle from having no information, and the only research we were able to do is to go to the library and look through whatever they happen to have there. And now we've come completely the other direction, where we've got so much information, and frankly, so much BS that's out there, that it's difficult to sift through it all and find out exactly what's real and what isn't real.
Sure, it's an overload. It overloads our nervous system, and then to the point where many people just give up from the strain of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But it does point out a basic problem that mankind has suffered with for a very long time, is that information has been controlled, and it has been given out to people piecemeal fashion until the advent of the internet, where we have where the floodgates have been opened, and we have been inundated with just a massive amount of information, much of it posing as facts, but and much of it not being so, but many pieces of information being disseminated for ulterior motives. So that's a primary means of controlling people. Another means is by manipulating the mental states of people. Now, this can be done in a number of ways. A very fundamental way is by keeping people under stress, anxiety, and pressure. In fact, that is something that is going on today and has been going on for many years. It's like the population has been placed in a vice. On one end of the vice is the manipulation of information through the media, through public education. And on the other end of the vice, you have the manipulation of the economy and financial factors, placing pressure on people so that most people have a level of anxiety and tension that is that they consider normal, and it certainly isn't normal, because if we're not at peace and calm within ourselves, in spite of what is happening around us in our environment, then we're not going to see clearly. We don't necessarily see things as they are. We see things as we are. And if we're all uptight and all stressed out, then that's going to affect our perception, and we're not going to see things that are happening literally right in front of our noses because of that level of tension.
What better way to get people to not see things but to keep them distracted all the time?
Oh, for sure. Well, that's a very basic strategy of psychological warfare. It's really wearing people down gradually and putting pressure on them so that people don't know if they're coming or going. And most people are out here trying to eke out a living, having to work harder today than they did 15, 20 years ago for less money. Or numbers that may be larger, but certainly the purchasing power of the so-called dollar fluctuates, and that's one of the problems with our economy. Is the major problem with our economy is what we're using for money, and that's we can get into that briefly a little later. But that's another factor here. In education, we're not taught all the things that we need to know, and certainly when it comes to money and economics, information is withheld from us so that we don't truly understand what is going on out here. Basic problem is that there, in all nations, there is a wealthy aristocracy that makes up a ruling class, a ruling elite. And these people control, as far as our country is concerned, these people control all the major banks, the major corporations, the most influential foundations. They control, using money as an instrument of control, they control everything. Our whole society. It's a very small group of people. It's the families. It's government historically has been a family affair of private wealth controlling the civil authorities. And it's no different today than it was hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago. These people have been able to insulate themselves pretty much, and they're able to control large numbers of people because they know some things that the rest of the people don't know. Secret knowledge is the basis of all power. And so you have a group of people who pass on the reins of control to their children from one generation to the next, so that their children continue to rule over everyone else's children. So they are a basic problem, and attention isn't given to them by the media, because the media and everything else is controlled by the super rich, who have a vested interest in keeping everyone confused and amused and befuddled and entertained and distracted, so that they simply don't know what to do. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to do about this situation, and it places people in a kind of paralysis, so that they become ineffective. There are more of us than there are these people who are controlling everything. But they have to. It's a strategy of divide and conquer. By keeping people at odds with each other and confused and fighting amongst themselves, this ruling class does not become an issue. Everything else is an issue, except those who are directly responsible for the rapid changes that are occurring in our society. Anyway, back to the basic principles of programming. The first principle, first order of business, is to create a state of mind where people are going to be receptive to the message of a propagandist or advertiser. The first order of business is to create the circumstances that are going to induce a state of mind for the favorable reception of the message. That state of mind is the hypnotic state of mind. It's a trance state. It's a state of mind where that is very similar to daydreaming. Where
you want to make it passive.
Pardon?
It's a passive.
That is correct. There is no active mental activity going on. To give you a good example of it, using television, because television is the most potent weapon of psychological warfare in history. And I know that most people don't think of television as a weapon, not a weapon of psychological warfare, because for many people, the television is a member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
It is the center of many social activities in the home that the family centers around. There's a television in many rooms of the house. Many family members have their own television set. So it's become a member of the family, and it's the source of information, or primary source of information for many people. It is the primary source of entertainment and amusement for many people. But if you think back to when you have observed young children or older adults watching television, you will recognize that they have this starry-eyed, blank look in their face. And that's because they are in a trance state. Television, regardless of the program, the nature of the technology, it induces a hypnotic state of mind, a trance state. The TV screen, although it appears to be stationary, it is actually flickering. We don't see it consciously, but subconsciously, that repeating pattern, the flickering, induces the trance state. The principles behind hypnotic programming are, one, to focus the attention of the conscious mind on one of the five senses. In the case of television and the flicker effect, it is getting the eye to focus on this repetitive pattern. Now, you don't see it consciously. There are some things that are done to deepen the state of mind. For example, the use of repeating graphics, say flashing words or flashing numbers, the pricing, flashing on and off, on and off. It's meant to capture the attention of the eye, get the eye to focus on the repetitive pattern in order to clear the mind of all thought so that the message can come through unimpeded. The reason for this is that the propagandist or advertiser doesn't want to give the target audience the opportunity to think about the message. If you have the opportunity to think about it, then you have the choice to accept or reject it. If you do that, then what happens is the information gets filed in the memory banks of your subconscious, and with a coded tag, a file identification, so that when you are presented with the information again, then you access it with that code and then can make a judgment at that time. The whole point of programming is to get a knee-jerk kind of response, an automatic response. So they don't want people thinking. Mm-hmm. That's why it's necessary to induce this trance state as an ideal state so the information gets through unimpeded, and then the repetition of the information over and over and over again over a period of time builds the conditioned response. And I would bet that many people who are listening right now have experienced several things that are examples of this knee-jerk conditioned response reaction. Have you ever bought something and then later on wondered, well, why did I buy that? Have you ever said something or done something and wondered, why did I do that? Why did I say that? It is because of this mechanism being activated. Now, there's a reason why on TV they call the shows programs and the networks have programming departments. Entertainment is not just entertainment. It is not harmless, innocuous, fillers up of time. The arts are extremely important. Entertainment extremely important as a delivery system for propaganda because they influence people without their conscious awareness. Mm-hmm. In the ancient world, this aspect of the arts was very well understood. The arts are an outgrowth of religious observances. Drama, music, dance have their origin in religious ceremony.
It's kind of interesting, Stephen. You know, I was just saying on this broadcast last week, my youngest daughter, she's very into television, and we got to take a break here in just a moment, but she's very into television and very interested in watching cartoons and things like that. My oldest daughter, she's not quite like that. She's more like me. More into the stuff that I'm into, but she frequently, when they have extra time before school, they come to me and ask if they could watch cartoons, or she does anyway, and I've watched some of these cartoons. The propaganda that they put into these cartoons about how, you know, human beings are destroying the earth and all of the stuff that we deal with all on a regular basis, the environmental propaganda, it's just absolutely remarkable that they're programming the next generation to accept sustainable development in the UN concepts. But at any rate, we got to take a break here, folks. I'm in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com. If anybody wants to join us, ask questions of Stephen Jacobson. He's our guest tonight. And we're going to continue on the other side of the break. MindControlInAmerica.com is his website. And we'll be back in a moment. Thank you.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks. Go to the website, AmericanExposé.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. There's a lot of good research there for you, as well as a lot of other research sites under the partner sites and various avenues of places where you can learn the truth without being manipulated. That's what one of our purposes here is, to try to provide you with information that you can rely upon and to hopefully break out of the box of the controller's thought patterns. As we're always hearing this cliche, you got to think outside the box. Well, it's time for us to start thinking outside of the real box that has been put into place for us over a number of years. Well, really, all of our lives, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad that you're joining us. Don't forget the chat room. I see somebody has joined in. So. There's a person named Judge America has just joined the chat room, so feel free to join in as well. And if you have a question for Stephen, you can ask it through chat, or you can ask it by calling in. We'll be happy to hear from you. We don't open the phone lines an awful lot on this broadcast because a lot of times we have so much information to share that trying to get through it all and deciding what is important is certainly a challenge. But the call-in number tonight, and I think Nicholas is standing by, 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. And once again, 559-781-3773. And that's the number that you can use to call in tonight and be a part of the broadcast. And we'll be happy to hear from you. Continuing on here, though, Stephen's website, by the way, is mindcontrolinamerica.com. Once again, www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. And Stephen, you know, you referenced the media earlier. I too have worked in the media. Actually, I currently work in the media, and I've worked with local news media outlets for over a dozen years now. And what you said about many of the people who are a part of the media being deceived, I can confirm that for everyone listening. They're just as deceived, at least local news outlets are, as the rest of the general population who are on the receiving end. And you certainly can't have people give out truth, put out truthful information, when they're just as conditioned as everybody else, can you?
No, you certainly can't. What's that old expression, programmer's expression in programming computers, garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
If inaccurate information gets in there, it's not corrected. It's simply disseminated and repeated, and the error goes on and on and on until it's corrected, if it ever is corrected.
Now, one thing that's very interesting to me is, a lot of times I run these entertainment programs, and I just hate these things. I sit there for the whole half-hour show, and I'm sitting there saying, well, who cares? You know, I mean, they talk about all these celebrities, everything that they wore, you know, what color they wore their hair, their nails, who got a manicure on what day, and I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous how they gush over these celebrities. I mean, celebrity worship is being promoted and has been promoted for as long as I can remember, but they take this to such extreme measures. And one thing they've been focusing a lot on is the Mary Kay Letourneau situation, this school teacher who has, it was statutory rape of one of her students. And she's a very attractive woman, and she was sentenced to prison, I guess, for 7 years for this crime that she committed. But now we have a situation where now that she's marrying the student that she once statutorily raped, and the way these entertainment programs are addressing this, you gotta wonder. Well, it's almost like they're promoting that isn't this so wonderful that these two are together now, and isn't it so? Despite all the social objections to what happened, isn't it just marvelous? And I mean, this woman, by the standards of the law, she's a pedophile, she's a child molester. And yet this is being glamorized on these entertainment shows. And I just see this thing as the degrading of morality further, you know, as homosexuality has been promoted for many years now. And years ago, maybe 40 years ago or even less, nobody would ever imagine that we would have homosexuals parading in the streets. We'd have all these so-called gay rights, which I don't even like to call it gay anymore because... Frankly, that's just another word that they've taken, that they've changed the meaning of, so that we're not able to comfortably use it anymore. Why don't you speak to the media degradation of morals? Why are morals important for a society to maintain their freedom? Maybe that's a good place to start.
Well, a nation that has high ethical and moral standards is a nation that is well near impossible to defeat. It is a strategy of psychological warfare in tearing down the character, the moral fiber, the very inner being of people and a nation, to weaken the nation so that it can fall as a ripened fruit into the hands of those who are implementing the strategy. It's really pretty basic when you consider what Sun Tzu, Chinese General Sun Tzu, wrote in his The Art of War more than 2,500 years ago. It's a very small book, very important book about warfare. It has been said that Napoleon used it as a guide in his military campaigns. The Art of War was used by the former Soviet Union in training their military. And what Sun Tzu said is that supreme excellence consists in breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting. And that's psychological warfare. And that is attacking the very character of a nation so that it falls apart by itself. And when people are so concerned with material things and gratifying the physical body, working so that they can earn money to make the body more comfortable and more attractive looking and to smell better than it would without AIDS, it is a distraction and getting people's attention away from asking the real important questions. Mm-hmm. The real important questions are, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? What's the purpose of life? Where do I go from here? The real important issues, that the riddles of life are there for us to solve. We're here to solve these things. But when a basic problem for everybody, and the root cause of all problems, is our identification with the physical body as being ourself. We are not the body. We have a body. Body is a possession, but most people are making their decisions based on the body being themselves, that you only have a limited time here, and so get all the gusto that you can. You only live once, and so you better get yours before it's too late. And this has created the dog-eat-dog society.
Mm-hmm.
How can anyone be at peace and calm and peaceful in this kind of environment when everybody is struggling and fighting for the so-called finer things in life that you're going to give up upon death? And you don't know when death is going to happen, but what dies? Who dies? It's the body that dies.
Right.
But we're spirit. And it just shows that people, they may understand the words of the statement that we are spirit, but apparently they don't believe it, because most decisions are being made on the basis of a material consciousness. Even religious programming that promises material prosperity if you do your religious duty, that's still materialistic. Religion has become materialistic. So it's everything in our society has been contaminated, fundamentally because of the dishonest nature of the money system, which has corrupted all of society's institutions.
Right. Now, Freebird writes in the chat room, knowing what's going on doesn't solve the problem. Action is the key. So what in the world can we do to change anything?
Well, before there can be action, you have to have the knowing and the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then the action is on yourself first, because the problems we face have a spiritual foundation. That's the missing dimension in world politics, is the spiritual dimension. The mind is the gateway to the soul. That's why there is a mind control issue. The solution to the problems we face requires a raising of consciousness and awareness that allows people to discern the difference between what is real and what is illusion. We're not going to make the world better until we make ourselves better. And that's where we can have a real impact.
Now, Stephen, I want to jump in here, because we're quickly running out of time. It seems like these hours just go by fast when we're in the middle of this, and I'm really enjoying our conversation here.
Yeah, me too.
Jan Kozak wrote a document, and it's published in a booklet form called And Not a Shot is Fired, and it talks about how the Czechoslovakian government was overthrown by the communists and not a shot was fired. But in the introduction to this this manuscript, they write a piece about how the communists co-opt the ideological language, and I want to share some of this with you, in hopes to get your comments on it. It says the communists adapted the language of socialist ideology and the political policies of socialist regimes for their own internal use on several fronts. Many socialist terms were given double meanings, sometimes called dialectics, among communist revolutionaries for furtherance of their coup. Thus, terms like proletariat and workers' class can have their plain meaning or be code words for Communist Party leaders, or people's interest, democratic will of the masses, and decision of the proletariat could have its ordinary meaning or designate orders from party leadership. The use of dialectic meanings in words was and remains a necessary part of any plan to overthrow free governments. Outright announcement of the goals and motivations of revolutionaries would arouse too much alarm among the people and create too much resistance, resulting in the defeat of the conspirators. The use of such double-meaning terms serves as a means of transmitting indirectly an action program to follow conspirators without alarming the general populace. If confronted with the true dialectical meaning of the terms, conspirators can simply claim that it is merely ideological belief and that the accuser is simply a paranoid who is falsely reading sinister motivations into the revolutionary's words. It says dialectical speech was not unique to Kozak's Czechoslovak branch of the Communist Party, nor has it been limited to communism. Mafiosi and other criminal gangs typically have their own language that serves both as verbal handshakes and to communicate without attracting the notice of the law. And like the lingo of gangsters, communist dialectics change frequently in order to preserve its esoteric qualities. And it goes on from there, but it talks about communist code speech and takes it back to Karl Marx and Engels. But, you know, today it seems like we're having more and more of these double meanings. Democracy would be a good example that comes to mind right off the bat.
Sure.
Our leaders tell us that they're spreading democracy, and they say they're spreading freedom around the world. Why should we be worried then about our liberty when our government seems to be so concerned about spreading freedom around the world?
Well, it points out that the essence of psychological warfare is the changing of the meaning of words. Orwell called this changing of definitions of words newspeak.
Mm-hmm.
And that eventually leading to doublethink, where people would accept two contradictory beliefs without realizing and seeing that it was illogical to do so. There's a quote in Orwell's 1984 where he says, in the end, the party, the government, would announce that 2 and 2 made 5, and you would have to believe it. It was inevitable that they should make that claim sooner or later. The logic of their position demanded it. If you took out the word communist in the piece that you just read, and just you could say government or totalitarian regime authoritarian regime, it's the same thing. Going back to the Vietnam War, and even where bombing missions were called protective reaction strikes, or when the White House was caught making contradictory statements or lying, then press secretary would say that the former statements were inoperative. And here's one that I found in 1984, of all years, was in a local paper here in Winston-Salem, where it was a United Press International story, and the headline was State Department Strikes Killing from Reports. And it goes on to say that the word killing has been stricken from State Department human rights reports. Officials explained yesterday that the government considers it more precise to say, quote, unlawful or arbitrary deprivation of life. So this manipulation of language is pretty key, and where they have one meaning in mind, we have another understanding of it, and and they go about on their merry way with their program and their agenda.
It's a crafty tool, manipulating the English language. I want to come back to something also that was mentioned in the chat room about taking action. Given that your tapes, and do they just come on cassette tapes?
Yeah, they're cassette tapes, yes.
Okay. If someone's looking for a solution to the problem, I don't know how you would feel about this, but what comes to mind to me in order to wake up the population as a possible solution is to get Stephen's tapes and maybe put them, go buy some airtime on your local radio station and play them on the air. I know a lot of radio stations sell airtime on Sunday mornings and different other times, and it would cost a little money. Would you be in objection to that, Stephen?
No, not at all. They have been played on the air on satellite, on shortwave, on the stations.
Here's the thing about that.
That is one way.
These are avenues that, you know, like a lot of times I, when I'm talking on this broadcast, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir in many respects. But when you go and start taking this information into the mainstream, you know, and I can think of some 50,000-watt FM stations that sell airtime, some Christian stations. There's one in Detroit that I can think of, WMUZ. And this has a huge coverage area, and this would be fantastic to have this information put on that station, and it would cost some money, but you know, all you have to do is call and ask them how much it would cost to do this, and just have the money put up front, and then have that information played on the air, and it can reach thousands, literally thousands of people who have had no contact with the kind of information that we're covering on broadcasts like this one.
Sure, that would be of help, and also people sharing the information with their friends. I do have a quantity discount schedule for people who want to share the information. The cost per tape goes down depending on the quantity ordered. For those people who don't have a computer or access readily to a website, the website is mindcontrolinamerica.com, has the information on the audios. There are two, Mind Control in America and Wake Up America. They are about $15 each when ordered separately. When ordered together as a set, the two audios, the total was $25, and that includes shipping. And the mailing address here is MCIA Media. That's the initials for Mind Control in America. MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, it's two words hyphenated, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113, zip 27113, that's MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113. And my telephone number here in Winston-Salem is area code 336-723-6535. 336-723-6535. And again, this information is on the website, mindcontrolinamerica.com. And there is another tape, another audio, which there's information on the site about. It's called Personal Comfort Training. That was developed by my father. The research that was given to me was research my father was involved in. He was a consultant to the medical profession for 20 years and developed an audio that at one time doctors wrote prescriptions for their patients to have the audio. It's been used in a number of different ways for stress management, people under stress, anxiety, tension, to help them relearn what comes natural to us when we are children, and that is to relax and to be comfortable. It's a training program where the more you listen to it, the more benefits you get from it. People have used it for pain, control of pain, chronic pain, where drugs were not not effective. Insomnia, people have difficulty sleeping because of stress and anxiety. People with different emotional problems, there is information, a link to that information on the mind control site. It's called Personal Comfort Training, and there's a link to that on from the Mind Control in America site.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And that's part of a solution-oriented, and the next, I am working on the next presentation, and that will delve more into this, the area of solution, because frankly this thing is centered around religion. Material consciousness versus spiritual consciousness.
So you're going to take on the religious issue?
Well, that's the fundamental issue, because the only solution to the problems of and suffering of material existence is spiritual consciousness. Mm-hmm. God consciousness is the only solution.
Well, that's a very delicate issue.
Well, it is delicate, but it is the fundamental problem. Everything centers around that. Getting
it's really
people
deeply rooted, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is, and it's not nothing. It's not anything new. It's this getting people focused on material consciousness, on the physical body, gratification of the physical body. When religion, when a bona fide religious practice, it is meant to separate us from that mentality, to purify our consciousness, to get it away from this entrapment of the material senses and the desire to gratify our material senses. So it's and that's positive, and it's centered around positive mind control, positive aspect of it, controlling your own thinking. How many people can keep their mind blank for 10, 15, 20 seconds, let alone for hours at a time? It's about controlling one's own control one's own being, keep the mind quiet so that one can have a spiritual revelation. In scriptures, in Psalms, it says, "Is the sole requirement for the development and growth of spiritual consciousness is to be still. Be still and know I am God. Mm-hmm. Be still and silent, and God reveals himself in silence."
Amen.
And that's a whole other issue, the religious issue, and because if it's being delicate, and I've been working on this for years, the research on this leading up to this point, because that is the major issue, and it is a very delicate issue for sure, because of the contaminated thinking that is out there regarding religion.
Yeah,
because it's been corrupted.
Right. Listen, I hope that when you come out with this, and I don't know how close this is to being done, that you'll come back and talk about it?
Oh, for sure. And it's going to be a little while because of the complexities and the intricacies of the issue. Mm-hmm. Dealing with the mind control issue and the money issue was much easier task, although not easy, but it took years to put those things together. But this other aspect of it is in recognizing.
Stephen, we're out of time. I'm sorry to have to say, but I appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure, Darren.
God bless.
God bless.
And
your audience.
Look forward to having you back. Thanks for joining us, listeners, and thanks to all of you.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals.